We have a good, good Father, yes? Wow. It's so weird to be in the sanctuary. I need to learn all over again that there's a bright light in this world. And it comes in right that window. The light of Jesus shines everywhere. It shines on everybody, so don't be sitting in the shadows. Oh, what needless peace we often forfeit. And we don't take it to the Lord in prayer. So let's do that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for this day that we set apart to worship you. And I pray that your Holy Spirit move in a mighty and powerful way this morning. That not one person you have brought here is here by accident, but that there is a message that we all need to hear. So I pray that we would be attentive, not to my word, but to your word. And that we would allow it to do the work that you have set it out to do. That it won't return empty. But it will accomplish what you set it out to do. So we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, or there's blue Bibles, I think, on the pews, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6 today. I'm just going to blitz through verses 10 through 18. They should be familiar because about 4 years ago, we did an in-depth study of the book of Ephesians. I'm not going to that. I'm just going to highlight one verse that stood out to me that we have already experienced, that has already been, the pump is primed. And I love watching God orchestrate our services. And I also like having to be obedient to His will. We're driving in this morning down 183, and on the radio came this really awesome song. Just randomly on the radio. And I said, boy, this would be a great way to close the service. I says to my wife, Tracy, would you be willing to sing? And she said, well, I have it. This, that, and the other thing. And for the last 50 minutes, we've been trying to make this happen. So now we're going to be obedient. We're not going to close with that song that just puts the icing on the cake to this message. So as much as I wanted to have this stunning impact, God was like, no, there's a different order. I can't wait to see what God unfolds this morning. I love watching Him orchestrate the testimonies of the people leading the music, of the prayer requests. God writes this stuff, not me. I just get to sit back and say, God, you're so cool. Is that how you live your life? I prayed this morning, Lord, you should go before us. And so here I have to sit and relinquish my plan and my way and say, God, you have your way. And I get to experience the joy. And I'm going to rejoice. Always. I'll say it again. I'm going to rejoice. Okay, we'll see you next week. No, it's not that easy. If your Bible is open to Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to begin at verse 10 and read to verse 18. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, because of this, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, stand firm. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in all. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So, if you attend regularly, You know I ask questions, and you know I ask the question of myself first. So what keeps us from a diligent prayer life? Did you pray this morning? Did you pray yesterday? Are you going to pray this afternoon? What interrupts that line of communication? See, I believe one thing is maybe we have become lukewarm in our relationship with God. Possibly the joy of being close with our Heavenly Father has grown cold. And then I want to lovingly ask this question. Could it be that you have never responded to the Spirit's call on your life? I know about God. I know I should. But for some reason, there is something that interrupts us praying to God. So here's the question. What might that be? I suggested a couple. Are we just too busy? Do we have so little faith that we don't think prayer works? Have you experienced, and this church has, experienced answered prayer? We absolutely devote a quarter of our service to prayer. Why? Because it works. As we read through the book of Ephesians, we see who we are in Christ. We talked about this the last couple of weeks ago. We recognize we were dead in our trespasses and sins. Yes? And the truth is revealed. When you read the chapters, all six, it's a short book, we find out we were God. We sat on the throne of our lives. And then God saved us from that kind of life. Thank you, Jesus. At some point, we stepped away from the throne, and Jesus and God took up the residence. It's at that transfer of the position, me being God, to letting God be God, that led us to the Holy Spirit leading us in communication through what? The reading of God's Word. And the fellowship of like-minded believers. It's at that point we begin to live life in obedience to Christ. So here's the question. Some guy last week said, rejoice. Rejoice always. I'll say it again, rejoice. So did you follow that instruction this week? Have you been rejoicing every day, seeing the joy of the Lord that He is my strength? See, I can see why pastors get burned out. They go up, they stand, they work for 20 hours or 30 hours a week trying to put together a message, and then they think, to what point and purpose? I'm never going to let that happen, and I'll tell you why. Because if Satan can deceive me into that kind of thinking, I ain't going to let it happen. God is going to do a work, and He's going to do a work this morning, I believe. Look, when we start living our life in obedience to the Lord, this is not a natural experience. This is a supernatural experience that happens through the power of God. But we need to take that stand. Down. Stand down. Stand down. Get on your knees. Put your hands up. Isn't that what the police say? That's what I watch every day on TV. I mean, that's just surrender. We need to recognize that there is a battle raging and see the imperativeness of being in the Word of God and listening and putting into practice the instruction found there. Ephesians 6 tells us to armor up. Put on the full armor of God. Oh, no, I'm going to go out in my skivvies. I'm not going to put a helmet on. I'm not going to put a breastplate on. I'm not going to put a belt on. I'm going to walk around this world naked. Why? Well, I'm okay with that. I've been doing it all right for the last 57 years. There is so much more when we take this book and heed its instruction. Life can be so much better. Why do we leave it on the table? Because there's one in this world. As a child of God, this is an action we must take, because if truth be told, the battle is for position. The authority is in heaven and in my heart. I need to stand down and let God take control. What happens is we come to parts in our life, we just don't want to fully surrender. We don't trust God. Well, if I lay this down, what's going to... We need to surrender all. What happens is we begin to live life as though we are God. And when you're your own God, you will rarely, if ever, pray. Just saying. You won't have a need to pray because you'll be deceived, you'll be ignorant. I've been there. I didn't know I was deceived. I didn't know there was so much more. I find it difficult to comprehend how people can play God with their lives, oblivious to the destruction of their destructive tendencies, destroy their lives, and then after they've made a mess, they blame God for the mess they're in. There are some in this world that seem to think they know better than God. When we're deceived, sometimes we justify our thoughts, our actions, or we listen to the influences of the world around us, and we find that we have slipped back onto the throne of our lives. How's that going for you? Oh, life is grand. I'm a wreck. Woohoo! For whatever reason, we succumb to this trap of believing life will be better if we do it my way instead of God's way. He has a perfect plan and will for our lives. It's laid out. Perfect. That's where He placed Adam, in perfection. And I have never experienced it, though I long to live in a perfect world. Here's my hope. One day, I will. Perfection is on the way. The Bible instructs us how to live a successful life, but we seem to live our lives our own way. Who's the guy that sang that song? I did it my way. Take the highway. That's dumb advice. We like to think we can do it better. When we live our lives out of step and lose sight of our position in Christ, we begin to reap the harvest of disobedience. And we put our lives at risk of becoming cold to the Lord or becoming angry with the Lord. And our prayer life will dwindle or worse, die. So, are you praying every day in every moment of every circumstance? Thank you, Jesus, for this flat tire. Because clearly if Dennis and Mary Beth were traveling at 8 o'clock this morning, there would have probably been a horrific accident and they would have been killed. But because they had a flat tire, they're going to get here at the perfect time and we're going to praise Jesus for that. We don't know why. We just have to be praising Jesus. God, thank you for this gorgeous day. Thank you for people that use their gifts to proclaim the gospel in dance, in drama, in you fill the blank. Thank you for my ill health. So I have time for the next 6 months to get well, to be restored, to be renewed, to change my focus. We want life to be a bed of roses. And God says, no, I want to take you through the trenches so you'll experience the bed of roses. We live in an upside down, backwards world. As chosen children of God, we are set apart to be holy so that we can be used of God to bring glory to God. Rejoice. God's using you to impact the world around you. He wants us to be a light in this dark world. And yet we take on the description of the world. Do we look any different? Man, I'm happy. I'm joyous. I'm praising Jesus in the good times and in the bad times. According to the book of Ephesians, we, as believers of Jesus Christ, have an opportunity to make known the manifold wisdom of God. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's ever-present. He doesn't change. And if we have opportunity to reveal God, the opposite stands true. If we're not leading people to Christ, we could be luring them away. Whoa. I love that response. May it never be. We make known Christ by walking in obedience, clinging to the promises of God. How? By prayerfully pleading with Him that He'll never leave us, that we would stay in a right, joyful relationship with Him. Is that your desire? Lord, don't take Your Spirit from me. We've been reading that for 129, now 136 verses. I'm not leading you to stale food. This is yum yum for the tum tum, because there is a battle raging, child of God. Don't be deceived. Don't let your heart be hardened. Always keep it focused on God. Don't turn to the right or to the left. The number one relationship you want to take care of at all cost is your relationship with Jesus Christ. This is a relationship like no other. And a lot of times when it comes to our relationships, we feel like we do all the work. We clean the house. We make the food. We carry the conversations. If we're at a restaurant, we foot the bill. We lay down the table. The tip, all after we've made the invitation to get together. But all throughout the Bible, over and over, in different ways, this is what we read. I called you. I saved you. I sustain you. I hold you together. I have come for you. I have rescued you. I'm sanctifying you. This relationship is paid in full. You have nothing to boast in. You rely on me. See, God does all the work. We live in an upside down, backwards world. We give, we get. We get this and that. God says, no, I did it all. Just believe. So often we take this most important relationship for granted. Or it's misunderstood. Mainly because a lot of us, not all of us, but many of us, have had well-meaning dads, but they weren't that great of a father. What I mean is, they didn't offer a hug or to snuggle when you hurt. They weren't that good at having conversations. They didn't recognize when you were down. It's as if they would say, tough it out. We don't cry. Move on. And so we take that description of fatherhood into this relationship with God. And we think that, well, I'll just do whatever God says. Or I'll just be good and everything will work itself out. And when we think that way, we are robbing ourselves of the joy of being invited into a relationship with a holy and loving God. Your Heavenly Father is attentive to your prayers. The Bible tells us at our conversion, we become sons and daughters of God. I've noticed the older I get and the more I study on God's love for you and for me, we're not just sons and daughters. We are God's priceless, precious treasure. He wants to be with us. He wants to walk with us and talk with us. He stands at the ready to pick us up when we're at our lowest point. What does He say? My child, I'm with you. He knows everything about us. He's attentive to everything that goes on in our life. He is vitally interested in us. This relationship is not based on our merit. It's hard for us to comprehend this kind of love. Because one, we don't give it, and two, we don't receive it. It's supernatural love. And it can consume our life, and we can have joy if we just take a step down from the throne. Let Jesus be Lord of your life. Now, it could be said that this relationship is impossible for us to believe unless the Holy Spirit opens our mind's eye so that we can see and believe. God is there. He's right here. My best friend, go-to guy. What a friend we have in Jesus. His love, His unconditional love for us, for me, blows my mind. I mean, this relationship truly is like no other. It's all about you, Jesus. Apart from you, I'm nothing. I have nothing to boast about except for Him. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He saved me. He's restoring me. He equips me. He rebukes me. He humbles me. He blesses me. I'm growing in Him. He does the work. It's always about Him. It's never about us. And when you realize the relationship you have access to, you run to Jesus. Not away from Him. Why are we leaving all this valuable stuff on the table? Because football's in season. Because baseball's in season. Because soccer's in season. Because I want to shop until I drop. Because my favorite show's on. We have plenty of reasons not to read God's Word, right? And what happens is when you pick it up and you taste and see, you can't put it down. And then you reap the benefit, the yumminess of a good life. And you rejoice always, come what may. You can recognize a child of God who fully understands the gospel because when they mess up, when they, miss the mark, let's call it what it is, when they sin, they go to God, not away from Him. He knows we're going to fall, and He picks us up. Romans 8, 31 through 39 tells us there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. To that I will add, except reject the love of God. But if you feel this relationship is based on your actions, you will avoid Him. When actually, you should come and pray to Him. Many of us, when we sin, our natural response is to try and justify ourselves, avoid God, avoid the people we're sinning against, and convince ourselves, I'm okay. Been there? I'm okay. It'll work itself out. As long as you believe your access to the Father is based on your good merit, more than likely, you're not going to pray. Bummer. If you pray in that position, you may feel awkward. How many pray and it's like, oh, this is uncomfortable. It's uneasy. You feel out of place. Why do you think that is? Check your faith. The Bible tells us we are to boldly approach the throne of grace. With what? Confidence. Not because of anything I did. I'm not so righteous. It's because the blood of Christ shed on Calvary. There's power in the name of Jesus. And we leave it on the table. Church, don't do that. When you're living for Jesus on mission for the gospel, you need to armor up. And your first line of defense is prayer. Speaking from my own experience, when you're talking about God's love and His salvation, there is a battle raging in my mind even right now. For me, I feel inadequate. And when I finally get beside myself, I have to stop before I shut down and say, God, I confess, I can't do this on my own. I need your help. Do you cry out to God when everything's coming your way? Or do you try to do it on your own? I can do it. You might be able to, but it's far easier if you let the Lord fulfill His promise. He's going before you. Fortunately, God has given me a wife who often says, "And whose strength are you walking in?" And then I have this aha moment, and she prays with and for me. I'm overwhelmed that some of you pray for Tracy and I. And if that's you, please don't stop. And if it's not you, please start, because prayer absolutely works. If we look at the prayer life of the early church and how they prayed, and listen, applied it to our life, what would the world look like? What would the community look like? What would this church look like? What would our relationships look like? To be honest, my prayer life has miles to grow. So let's grow together. Okay? This is how the early church prayed. And I believe we will grow if we pray in the same manner. They prayed that God would exalt His name in the world, that God would extend His kingdom in the world, and that the gospel would go out in power ahead of them and be honored. How many have taken the gospel into the world this week? Oh. Come on, church. We're supposed to reflect Him. Yes? They prayed for the fullness of the Holy Spirit to go before them and not be taken from them. Preserve my spirit. Don't take it from me, Lord. Is that your prayer each day? That's how the early church prayed, and they prevailed. And someone in the world is still prevailing because the message is still going out. So keep praying for me, because I will not stand down. Satan will not distract me. Well, he will, but I'm going to do my best not to let him. They prayed for boldness when they proclaimed the gospel, that God would save unbelievers. They prayed for healing. They prayed for the casting out of demons and for the raising of the dead. When's the last time you prayed that? Yeah, me neither. They knew the importance of prayer, and they prayed for unity and harmony in the church. We're doing that. We're doing that. They prayed for discernment and the knowledge of God's will. They prayed to know God better. If there's more Jesus, show me. It's been a life verse for 19 or 20 years. It's my verse. Lord, if there's more, reveal it to me. They prayed they would comprehend His power and the love of Jesus Christ. I'm like, just chew on that for a couple days. The power of Jesus' name that we have access to, and the love of Christ that we can't be separated from. Just eat on that for a minute. They prayed that their faith would not be destroyed. They prayed for greater faith. God, increase my faith. Is that your prayer? They prayed that they wouldn't fall into temptation. And when they fell into temptation, they prayed and asked God to forgive them. Don't take more than a year to do that, like David did. These aren't stories. This is how the called child of God prevails. We take the action. We step down and allow God to step in. It works. The early church prayed for protection from the evil one. Do we do that every moment of every day? Because the attacks are instantaneously, every second of every day. I stand in awe that the God of the universe, with all its noise and distractions, can make order out of chaos. Now think just for a second. There's what, 40 people here, 50 people? We all pray at once. And God's like, yeah, that's cool. I can't imagine Him being able to answer how many people are on this planet? A bajillion? We all pray at the same time, and He's like, I got this. That's the power of my God. We have access to that power. We, as one of His beloved son or daughters, all we have to do is think, Father, and He's attentive. He has His undivided attention to that prayer. He's not distracted. He's all powerful. And we have access to the mighty power of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And listen, diligent prayer. Today, ask God to help you see this truth and then put it into practice. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for its instruction and the power that it holds. And I pray that you would increase our faith, that you would create in us a desire to know you more. God, we are lumps of clay. And you may have been turning us for years and we become marred. God, I pray that you would just smash that lump, throw it back on the wheel, put your loving hands around it and mold and shape us into those you meant us to be. That we would walk in your power. That we would stand on your promises. And that we would be a light in this dark world and have a boldness and courage to share it with those around us. God, use this church. Use each one you have brought here today to do more than marvelous things through the power of Christ. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.